It's the dictionary.
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 Dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer. This is episode F103. Since the passing of David Lynch, it's been hard not to think about him every day and all the stuff that he's done. We have watched, I think, 4 of his movies since then, his feature-length movies. He's got a whole bunch of shorts and, I think, music videos. He's made so many weird, fun, awesome things. But, of course, there has been a ton of outpouring of love for this man, more than I've seen with anybody else who's ever passed. And so, you know, scrolling through social media, there's just a ton of memes and things about him, photos, videos. It's been so fun to look at. But there was this one this morning I saw, and I had to share it, and I'm going to share it with you now. It's a quote from him. So many quotes have been shared. He said, I'll try to do this in a sort of David Lynch voice. "Don't fight the darkness. Don't even worry about the darkness. Turn on the light, and the darkness goes." So I just really appreciated that, and want to focus on the light. I would like to be here as a little tiny beacon of light for you, hopefully, you know, 30 to 45 minutes in your day, just some funness, some silliness, some education, some learning, some whatever. And I think we all need to just try and be more of the light. Turn on the light. I have lots of lights in here, wasting electricity. But before we get into the words in this episode, I have to play an audio message, a very interesting audio message I got from the one and only Mr. Oxford, who has some thoughts about the word finalize and some words in general.
"Good day, Mr. Parks. I'm sure I need no introduction, but of course this is William Oxford, the most staunch traditionalist in the world of words there has ever been. I was alarmed to hear you request impressions and points of view regarding that most odious of words, finalize. Oh, to even feel it come out of my lips sends a shiver down my spine. I hate this word. I hate it so much. U.S. government gobbledygook it is. I've always said this. Oh, if I had my way, none would ever speak the word finalize ever again. Yes, yes, and all I have to do is send up my word array to rewrite all the world's dictionaries, and then not only will no one say finalize, but also I will have complete control of all the world's words."
All right, let's get into the words. The first word, oh, you might hear from some people in this episode. I have to figure that out. Figure out who, what they're going to say, how they're going to say it. So we'll see how that goes. At some point, you might hear some people. Sort of. The first word in this episode is first class. 2 words. Noun from 1750. The first or highest group in a classification as A, the highest of usually 3 classes of travel accommodations. What are the other 2 classes? First class? Working class? Third class, I think, might be the third one, possibly. I think of the Titanic and the people who were not in first class had to be in the very bottom of the boat sharing with maybe some goats, possibly. B, a class of mail that comprises letters, postcards, or matter sealed against inspection. What does that mean? Matter sealed against inspection? So if it's sealed up so much you don't want it to be inspected. Oop, I got had a little burp there. Something weird happened. Matter sealed against inspection. So it doesn't need to be inspected. You don't want it to be inspected. That's first class. I think I was always confused when I was a younger person trying to go mail letters. I always thought first class was like, that would be the best class. That's going to be the most expensive way to send your mail. So I thought that doesn't make sense. And so I would say, yeah, just, you know, whatever's cheapest, just that's how I want to send this thing. And they'd say first class. And I'd be like, really? First class is the cheapest? What? I don't know why it's called first class. If you think this podcast is first class, then I think you should write a review or comment and share and do all those things if it's on YouTube. If you don't think it's first class, if you don't think it's of the highest quality, then just don't do anything and don't say how much you hate it. Just go about your day. That's all I ask. All right, my sound effect, it's going to be weird, but it will pertain to something later. I'm going to go Spencer. So the next word is first cousin, two words, noun, from 1649. The synonym is the 1A definition, the 1A definition for the word cousin. And of course, I don't remember exactly what that said, but I do know that first cousins are the cousins in your family, the people in your family who, oh boy, I was going to word that so poorly. Let's see if there's an easier way to word this. Your parents, both you and your first cousin, your parents are siblings. So, this whole first cousin, second cousin, third cousin thing and the remove thing is very confusing for people. It's less confusing for me because I've actually tried to pay attention to it. But not that we're going to get it. Maybe we should save this for the word removed or something. But basically, if your first cousin had kids and you had kids, those kids would be second cousins because they're on the same generation. And then, of course, if they had kids, they'd be third cousins, etc. The removed thing is like when you go to your first cousin and then you go up or down a generation, that's when they're once removed. First cousin once removed, either up or down or whatever. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about my first cousins. If they are willing to let me talk about them at all, then I will say some things here. Ideally, I would like to get them to say it in their own words. They can email me something, maybe a voicemail, or maybe we can even do a quick little record and talk about, I don't know, what it's like to be first cousins with each other. It's a weird question, but yeah, I'm going to see how that goes. I'm not going to give their names or information about them unless they give permission, but I will say I have 6 first cousins. That's it. First cousin specifically. I have 6. I have 2 on my mom's side. My mom has a brother who had 2 kids. And on my dad's side, he had 2 sisters and they each had 2 kids. And so I got 4 on that side. And we'll now maybe let's hear from them. All right. Well, I think this may be my first guest in my little first cousin section here. This is my cousin, Sandra. Hi, how's it going?
It's great. I'm excited to be a cousin and, you know, talk to you.
Haven't been a cousin for all these years. We're so excited. Now, finally, we'll get to be first cousins. So, yeah, this is a very strange thing. I don't know, like, The first question I think of is like, what is it like to be a first cousin or to have a first cousin? Do you have any sort of answer to that weird question?
So I do. I actually thought about this a lot because, you know, I just feel like I felt like growing up, we had like a really tight, amazing family where I felt super loved and safe and all the things. And, you know, as years go by, you start to just, and I having your own family, you start to see patterns and things and all of that. Mm-hmm. So anyways, first cousins for me, in my experience, especially with you and your sister, I felt like incredibly connected and close, almost like for me, it was a brother sister type relationship yeah. where you kind of just were like, you were just part of an extension of me and my, my family, my right. immediate family. And I think our parents did a really good job at having us be together all the time.
Yeah, they did. They did. And I guess I should say, oh, sorry, you froze there for a second. But I should say, you know, for the five people who are listening or watching, that Sandra and I are only 6 months apart. Our older siblings are a little bit further apart, but they were already around when we came around. And we only lived a handful of miles away. So it was really easy to get together. I don't even know. Like, it was just, you were just there from, you know, when I was 6 months old. I never knew a time when you weren't there. And we our families got together, it felt like, often. I don't know often. How often.
I don't really actually, I don't know how often, but to me, in my memory, it felt like all the time. I remember being at your house and playing with you. I mean, I just remember playing with you for hours. Yeah. I remember, I have some very interesting memories, and I don't know if they're real or if they're in my Sandra brain, but.
Oh, that's Sandra brain.
There, you know, Sandra brain makes up a lot of stories in her head. I don't know if they're true or not true, but I remember having, you know, some sleepovers and all the things that, you know, little kids would be doing together to sleep over, like Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember Cheerios with sugar or honey on them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I do remember taking baths. We were little, taking baths and going to bed and sleeping in your room and playing with all of your toys. And
yeah, I also like remember. You, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I also remember getting into some trouble with you and prank calling 911.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, we did. I don't know if my parents were around, but yes, I remember being in my room, I think, and calling 911. And then like the cops must have come, or they were at least.
Showed up. It was my mom and your mom were downstairs and we were calling 911.
As you do when you're 5 years old or something.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. But I have really good memories of first cousins and you guys just always being around and loving you guys so much and
yeah.
looking up to you and more so looking up to Jessica.
She was older and sister. Taller, literally. Yeah, much cooler.
More so playing with you and looking up to her.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, it was just like a sibling that you didn't live with, you know, who
exactly.
you were like. Usually siblings are, you know, a year or more or apart, but we were only 6 months apart. So it was like kind of like twins siblings that didn't live in the same place. And yeah, I remember I have such vivid memories of your parents' house and, you know, having breakfast in that back room and playing on your trampoline and, you know, playing, oh my gosh, playing all those pinball games that you guys had and Pac-Man and
Pac-Man pinball.
Yeah, that was so fun. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, the other little stupid thing I thought was funny was that I remember your first cousins on your other side, on your mom's side. When I was little, I thought they were my first cousins as well because I didn't
totally.
Understand how that all worked because they were also around a lot too.
Yes, and I also their first cousins I always thought were my cousins up until much much later. And then I know your first cousins, I never really saw a
yeah.
lot because I think that they were further away or.
Yeah. On
know.
My dad's side, two of them lived in Cincinnati and two of them lived in Minnesota. And now they're even yeah. more spread out than that. So, yeah, I had a very different relationship with you and your brother, Jason, than I did with those because I only saw them once or twice a year. But
right.
for you guys, it was like once a week, multiple times a month, probably.
It was all the holidays. It was a lot of weekend time, I'm sure. I really don't know how often it was, but it felt like a lot. And what I do think it did was, you know, as we've gotten older, mainly out of college, I think is when relationships, you know, it ebbs and flows, the tightness and all of location. I obviously have been living in New York for over 20 something years at this point, which is insane. 'Cause I'm fucking old.
Me too.
You're fucking old and you might have glaucoma. And no, oh, I'm just kidding.
Jeez. Yeah, really. The 40s are great.
Yeah, but what I do think is that that closeness that I feel or felt when we were little has always just kind of been there.
Right.
It never has changed for me. It's just kind of, it's like, oh, they're my cousins. I love them. I would do anything for them. I hope and pray that my kids can have a relationship like I had with you. But it's, again, it's like it's a different story. All of our cousins are out of town. So it's more of, you know, what your experience was with your other first cousins.
Yeah. Very similar to that one. Yeah. And I feel the same way with you guys. Yeah. That's just like, this is my family. These are practically my siblings. And even though we don't see each other often or talk to each other often, there's always that connection that if and when we do get together for a holiday or an event of some kind, it's like, you know, it's just all back to normal stuff.
Totally. And it's just interesting. It's just different periods of time in your life. But, you know, I also fondly look back at my years in college at Columbia, because I feel like we got an opportunity to experience each other often. Again, I feel like we hung out with, you know, I definitely hung out more so with your sister, but we all had these adult moments now that we're together. And, you know, obviously we saw each other for every holiday and there were lots of family dinners that would just kind of randomly happen. It was like our family just kind of all attracted each other and we would always meet up for random events. So, you know, I feel like it was just another thing. And now we're in our next phase.
Right.
But those memories are so strong. So,
yeah. Speaking of holidays, you were always the one that I would immediately connect to. It was like, okay, me and Sandra were hanging out for the whole night while all the adults are crazy and doing their adulting things. And of course the other kids too, but it was like, it was mostly you and me, I think. And I think one of my highlight memories, which happened on multiple occasions, was at Passover when, you know, we're doing the whole Passover thing and Grandma Ada just can't shut up during the whole thing. And you and I just cannot help but laugh and like embarrassed, like, you know, you got to be kind of serious. But how can you not laugh when our great grandma is chattering her brains out?
Yes. And that wasn't like, to clarify, we weren't little when we were hysterically laughing. We were tweens and teens, and went well into probably college. And then that was
because we were like 2021 when she passed away. So yeah, this would have been happening, you know, 10 years before that, essentially.
Yeah. And yes, those are some of my favorite holiday memories too.
Yeah.
And then of course all like the Hanukkah gifts that we, you know, you would get cool gifts and I would be envious and
vice versa. Cabbage Patch Kids, of course.
All the things.
Yeah.
Monsters.
The 80s.
My Buddy and Me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having this quick little chat with me about first cousins. The next people that you will hear from will be audio only. And, you know, I wasn't able to make it happen with your brother, Jason. I think our lives just a little too crazy. And I didn't get anything from my cousin Andrew, but that's okay. And I'm glad that you and I were able to do this, because I was like, at the very least, I gotta get Sandra. She's like, in my world, like cousin number one, the one who was like my sister. So thanks for doing this. I'm glad we were able to make this work.
I love you.
Love you too. Talk to you later.
Hey, Spence, this is your first cousin Ryan coming to you hot from frigid Ithaca, New York. You asked me what I think it means to be a first cousin or what it's like. Well, my answer is it's kind of like having a brother with different parents. Or maybe it's like having somebody living a parallel life. Could have been your life if your life wasn't your life. It's kind of interesting. I always thought cousin sounded kind of vague, imprecise, and maybe not that close. Family member who's barely part of the family. And I always thought that wasn't quite right. You and I, we grew up in parallel, always the same age, kind of comparing notes. And yeah, it's pretty cool being a first cousin. Hope this works out well for the podcast.
In my family, my first cousins are all older than me on my mom's side. And they have taught me so many things. They've taught me to be goofy and kind and pursue my creativity and to value family and prioritize it as much as possible. And they've taught me to do fun passion projects like this cool podcast you have, Spencer. I love you.
There was a kindly old president who came into the White House one day, and he had hardly any family in the world. People didn't know where he came from. They didn't know if he had parents, if they'd passed on. He was certainly an only child, but he did have a cousin he was very close to, and they'd been friends ever since they were little, playing in the creek together, shuffling cards together. And when the kindly old president came into the White House, he decided that he would bring his cousin with him. And together they ruled the country in peace, justice, and people referred to the cousin as the president's first cousin.
All right, hopefully we heard from them. I don't know. If not, it's fine. They're living their best lives, and they're just getting better. And I'm impressed with all of them in all of their unique ways, their unique personalities. I love them, and they're great, and they're doing awesome stuff. Okay, Spencer, this is going to get so weird. First Day Cover is next. Noun from 1932. I've never heard of this. This is a philatelic cover franked with a newly issued postage stamp and bearing the postmark of the first day of issue and an officially chosen place of issue. And this one is incredibly confusing to me. I'm sure it's not that confusing, but when you don't have context for what any of this stuff is, then it's weird. A philatelic cover, that's with a PH, don't know what that is. It's franked? What does that mean? With a newly issued postage stamp. Okay, a thing has a new postage stamp on it, I get that. And bearing the postmark of the first day of issue and an officially chosen place of issue. I feel like they're just making these definitions so confusing. A first day of issue cover or first day cover is a postage stamp on a cover, postal card, or stamped envelope franked on the first day of the issue is authorized for use with the country or territory. I don't know. I would have to look more. I mean, it's showing pictures of letters and stuff with the stamp on it, the date that it was postmarked, the postmark stamp. But I don't know. I'd have to read more about this. It's the first day cover of the world. Whatever. It's a thing for postage. That's all I know. Okay, first day cover. Great. Spencer. First degree burn. Ooh. This is three words. The first two words have a hyphen. Noun from circa 1929. A mild burn characterized by heat, pain, and reddening of the burn surface, but not exhibiting blistering or charring of tissues. Oh, the phrase charring of tissues is not one that I wanted to hear. So here's the crazy thing. I have a first degree burn. It's blurry, but you should be able to see that. I don't ever have burns. This is a very rare occurrence for me. We have an air fryer, and I was pulling some stuff out of the air fryer, and I wasn't paying attention, and I just dropped my arm a little bit, and it just hit the edge of it. And ooh, yeah, when I touch it, it's a little sensitive. This was just 2 days ago, I think. 2 days ago, I burned myself. I am very glad that it is only a first degree burn and not a second degree burn. I think that's when you get the blistering, probably. I don't think I've ever had a second degree burn. Ugh. But third degree burns, that's a whole other level. That's when the tissue is charred. And I have seen plenty of photos and video of people who have had those types of burns. And I just... It's not something that I want to think about in process, and so we are going to move on from that. I did get another first degree burn. This was many years ago. I can't remember. It was on one of my biceps. I think it was this one. You can't see it because the scar is gone. But I think I was pulling cookies out, a cookie sheet out of the oven, and I must have, I don't know what I did, but somehow way up here on the inside of my bicep, I got a long line, like 4 or 5 inches, just hit the something. And that was very similar to this one right here. And that hurt. Much more sensitive area up there too. Okay. Wow. And it is pale. Hooey. All right. Spencer. Next is first down. Two words, noun, from circa 1897. Number one, the first of a series of usually four downs in which a football team must net a 10-yard gain to retain possession of the ball. We're talking about American football. The only football that's important. No, I say that completely ridiculously. Because the majority of the world calls football something else, or they call something else football. Anyway, I think I talked about this when we got to the word down, but real quick, just to reword this another way, you have four tries, downs, each down is a try, you have four tries to get at least 10 yards forward. It's not a lot of yards, it's like 10 steps, but you got a whole bunch of people who are trying to stop you, and they make it very difficult. And so the first down is the first time you're trying that. Maybe you just passed 10 yards. So, oh, great. We passed 10 yards. Hooray. Everybody have a little celebration. Now we're going to do it again. We got another four tries. And here's the first try to get 10 more yards. It's the first down. Number two, a gain of a total of 10 or more yards within usually four downs, giving the team the right to start a new series of downs. So, I guess this is once you do it, once you hit those 10 yards or more, you have gotten a first down. Oh, great, we got a first down. That means we get to do a first down, I guess. Spencer. First edition, two words, noun from 1568. The copies of a literary work first printed from the same type and issued at the same time. Also, a single copy from a first edition. This is just the first set of books, or whatever it is. We're talking about books here. The first set of books that were printed. And a lot of times, you know, if it's a popular book, they'll do a second edition and a third edition. They'll do another round of printing. Sometimes it might even have edits. And so that's why people are like, ooh, that's a first edition of The Hobbit or Huckleberry Finn or The Bible. Nobody has a first edition of The Bible. It's a sought-after thing for those old and classic and fantastic books. We just watched a movie, The Brutalist, where... there's just a real short scene where they're going through the books in this guy's library, and he says they're all first editions, which means, of course, he is very rich and he has these fancy, cool first editions. I don't think I have a first edition of anything. Probably. Spencer. First estate, two words, noun. From 1935, the F and the E are often capitalized. This is the first of the traditional political estates, but specifically the synonym clergy. So I guess, I don't know how they're using estate here, but it seems like with the word clergy that maybe it's a religious thing. So it's the first one of the traditional political estates. I don't know. Spencer? First floor, two words, noun from the 15th century. Number one, the synonym is the first definition for the word ground floor. The one that's at the ground. You just walk in the door and you're right there on the first floor. It's funny though, because depending on the building, depending on the country, they might call something else a first floor. Let's read number two. Here we go. Chiefly British. The floor next above the ground floor. Yeah, in other countries, I guess Britain, but I feel like a lot of other countries do it too. They say the first floor is the one above. The one above the ground floor. I would call that the second floor because that makes so much more sense. It's the one thing that we do here in America that really just makes more sense, right? But they wouldn't say that. They would say, no, no, no. Our method makes much more sense. It's the first floor above the ground floor. But then you got to know that. That's very confusing. When you're traveling, you got to think about those things. Very important. First floor. I am currently on the second floor, but if my building were moved into Britain or another country, I would be on the first floor. Spencer. Next we have first fruits, one word. First fruits, noun from the 14th century. Number one, the earliest gathered fruits offered to the deity in acknowledgement of the gift of fruitfulness. Yep, we're religious again. You are giving fruits to the gods, and these are the first ones. Why are they the first ones? The earliest gathered fruits, maybe during harvest time. This is when you're taking the first ones off the trees or the bushes or whatever, and you're offering those to the gods. So you're like, here, we're giving you some food. Please treat us well. Number two, for first fruits. The earliest products or results of an endeavor. So I guess the first episodes that I ever did on this podcast, those would be the first fruits. And they're probably not very good, those first fruits. It's the first try. You got it. You're learning. You're still figuring it out of this thing, this new endeavor. The first fruits. The second fruits, that's when things get real good. Spencer, I hate saying my name. First hand, one word, adjective from 1748. Obtained by, coming from, or being direct personal observation or experience, as in a first hand account of the war. I don't want a first hand account of the war. I would prefer third hand, please. First hand is also an adverb. This is the kind of thing that I guess. Okay, so let's. I'm trying to like think of a situation. In a legal situation, they are always going to want firsthand testimony of somebody who was directly there, directly saw what happened. That's firsthand. But if they told somebody what happened, then that would be secondhand. If they told somebody and then that person tells you, then you're getting secondhand. It's being transferred down through the quote-unquote generations of people. So they're always trying to get a first-hand account of the situation. But then it's like, oh, I got it third-hand because somebody told me and somebody told them. And it's like, I am having trouble trusting this situation. I don't know. It was third-hand, but first-hand. Very few people have a first-hand experience of the recording of this podcast. I have it every time. There's a handful of people out there who have first-hand experience because they've been guests on it, but everybody else just gets it secondhand. Spencer. Now we have First Lady, two words. First Lady! Noun from 1834. That's interesting. The F and the L are often capitalized. Number one, the wife or hostess of the chief executive of a country or jurisdiction. You know, the mayor of a city, If it is a, let me reword my words. You know, we're very genderized here. The wife of the mayor would be the first lady. Same thing of a governor, president, prime minister, whatever it is. The wife of that person is the first lady. Typically, on average, they're usually a man in that position, and then they're married to a woman. But could be a woman in that position married to another woman. They would still be the first lady. Of course, the I think the opposite of this, which is not here in the book, I don't think, would be the husband of the person in that position. I think that's the first gentleman, if I remember correctly, because they were talking about that. If Kamala had won, we would have a first gentleman, a much more rare occurrence. Well, just in the time of recording 2 days ago, we had a swippy swap with the first lady. We had one first lady, and now we have a new first lady. And it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out over the next 4 years. Oh, boy. Okay, number two, the leading woman of an art or profession. Profession. She's doing an art. She's doing a profession. That's her job. And she is very important. She's a trailblazer. She's doing new stuff, creating new things that people had never thought of before. She's the first lady to do it. And how can you not want to say lady? Because it's just silly and fun. Spencer, first lieutenant, two words, noun from 1706. Number one, a commissioned officer in the Army, Air Force, or Marine Corps, ranking above a second lieutenant and below a captain. It's just the first lieutenant. I don't know about these things. Number two, a naval officer responsible for a ship's upkeep. I'm assuming that maybe in that situation, and then the Navy situation, there's still the captain, and then the first lieutenant is below him. They have to keep up the ship. They have to do all the cleaning. Probably not. Spencer! First line, two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1925. Being the preferred standard or first choice, as in first line treatment of tuberculosis. That's the type of treatment that you want for tuberculosis. If you have the TB, you're going to want the first line, the preferred method of getting rid of the TB. I guess there could be reason. Why would you not go for the first line? Maybe you have some other medical condition in this context that will not work so well with the first line. So maybe then they got to go to, it says compared to second line. That makes sense. Or maybe you tried the first line and it didn't work. That sucks. Then you got to go to the second line. Spencer! Next is firstling. Noun from 1535. Number one, the first of a class or kind. Firstling. I don't hear this one so much. Number two, the first offspring or result of something. The first thing that you did. The first offspring, I think, is more common for this one. The first puppy to be born of a litter is the firstling. And then do you call the rest of them the secondling, the thirdling, the fourthling, the fifthling, the runt? A lot of cultures around the world will name their... Well, I can save that for the little bit later. Well, I was just going to say, they will name their firstborn like the word in their language that means first, primo. It's to me, it's such an interesting thing. Your names are just the order of your birth, but you know, that's what they do, and that's cool. Spencer, firstly, adverb from circa 1532. In the first place, The synonym is first. Yes, in the previous episode, we had a similar definitions. So firstly, I would like to say, Spencer, first mortgage. That implies that there is a second mortgage, which really hurts my heart. Two words, noun from 1728. Oh, by the way, I just was reminded, First Lady, 1834. We had presidents into the 1700s, right? 1776, somewhere around there. And I assume that from the first president to 1834, some of them were married. Maybe all of them were married. I don't know. So did they just not have a term for their wives for all those, 60 years or so? Okay, interesting. So back to first mortgage. It is a mortgage that has priority as a lien over all mortgages and liens except those imposed by law. Lien is L-I-E-N. It's another one of these money, realty, property terms that I don't know. So maybe this is not implying that there is a second mortgage, but there could be, but there's also these liens on the properties, and this first mortgage is the most important one for some reason. I don't know. I don't get it. Let's go on. Spencer. Here we go. First name, two words, noun from the 13th century. The name that stands first in one's full name. This is the term that we use here in America, but other countries have different, like, for instance, last name is what we use for our last name, the last one in our name, but other countries will say surname. I feel like other countries will use a different term for first name, given name, that's one, but also the way that they use their names is different. I think I mentioned this recently where some people, their last name will be like their parents, their dad's name with son or daughter added to the end or various combinations of all that stuff. And so it's a whole other way to name things. But here in America, at least, we are using first name for your first name. A lot of us have a first name, a middle name, and a last name. Some people have multiple middle names. They're the names in the middle of your full name. And my first name, as I have said many times in this episode, is Spencer. And when I was younger, I had a rough experience with that. It was a different name, a unique name, and children who were not very smart because they were children would try to make fun of me for my name, which worked because I was also a child who didn't really know better. Just the fact that people were, it was just the attitude behind it. But they were saying things like Spencer for hire. When I was a kid, that seemed like mean, but it was a very popular TV show at a certain point. And so they didn't know. There was just a term that they knew that had Spencer. What was the Spencer Tracy? One of the best actors of our lives, of the time, of Hollywood, movie making. And for some reason, I was like, oh, don't call me Spencer Tracy, because that's not me. I don't know. But I should have been like, hell yeah, he's a great actor. I still haven't seen much of his work. I was almost not named Spencer. I was going to be named Sam, named after my great-grandpa Sam, who had passed away. And I think my dad had like a negative association with that name from some, you know, schoolmate when he was a kid or something. And so they decided to keep the S and go with another name. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was just a different, unique name, and they knew Spencer Tracy, and that was maybe Spencer for hire. And they were like, yeah, what about that name? And there were not a lot of Spencers growing up. There still aren't a lot. But, you know, so whenever we meet one, it's like, I see you. you've got a special name. What else? I don't know. The whole first name thing is funny. It's like if you appreciate it, if you've kept it, if you haven't changed it, it's there's something about the word, the letters that just you feel connected to. You've probably typed it a gazillion friggin' times in various forms. It's just like, I have this identity, this name, this is my thing. That's me. That's who I am. And you just have a connection to your own first name, whatever that is. But there are people who have or are transitioning, and that is now their dead name. And they're like, that's not a name that I identify with, because that is not who I am. I am this other person. That's who I feel inside. And I am now changing my physical body and my name to reflect who I feel on the inside. And that makes me very happy when they get to do that. And I really hope that that ability for them is not taken away. Let's go on to Spencer. First night, two words, noun from 1698. The night on which a theatrical production is first performed at a given place. Also, the performance itself. First night. Oh, let's put on our best performance at the first night, and then you just get tired. Ooh, Spencer! Next we have first nighter, two words with a hyphen. Noun from 1882. A spectator at a first night performance. They're so excited to be a first nighter. They get to see the first time this thing is performed for the world to see. And they're like, ooh, we think this is going to be great. So we want to go be a first nighter. Spencer. First off, two words. Adverb from 1880. In the first place. And also, before anything else. This is very similar to the previous one we had, firstly. In fact, I think they had the same definition. Yep, in the first place. But firstly did not say before anything else. But first off does say before anything else. It's just another way to say it. First, I'd like to say this. Firstly, also this. And first off, this. But that doesn't make any sense. Because they can't all be first. Nope. Spencer! First offender, two words, noun from 1849. One convicted of an offense for the first time. They did an offense, so they're an offender, and it's the first time they've done that offense? I guess, but what if you did other offenses? And now you're doing a new offense. Are you a first offender on that offense? Or are you just, are you now a second offender? I'm not sure the logistics of that. Have I ever been a first offender? I have not done anything very illegal, I don't think. Or they just haven't caught me yet. Spencer. Okay, we're on our last word. It's first papers, two words, noun from 1912. Papers declaring intention filed by an applicant for citizenship as the first step in the naturalization process. And now, of course, Trump is making it very difficult for people to even do these first papers, because people just want to come over here and have a better life and be able to make a living and send money back to their family. And the first papers are probably not going to get filled out as much now. Okay, let's pick a word of the episode. Today we had first class, first cousin, first day cover, first degree burn, first down, first edition, first estate, first floor, first fruits, first hand, first lady, first lieutenant, first line, firstling, firstly, first mortgage. This is sounding weird. First name, first night, first nighter, first off, first offender, first papers. I don't know. There were some good ones here. I could pick a few of them, but I'm going to pick first name as the word of the episode. I didn't like my first name when I was a kid, but now I like my first name because it's... What rhymes with kid? It doesn't have to rhyme. Now I like my first name because it's different. What's your first name? Do you like your first name? What are your thoughts and opinions about your first name? Go ahead and email me and or leave a voicemail, whatever you want. Tell me about your first name and how it connects to you as a person and what you feel about it. Has it evolved over the years? That's all I got to say, except I will now quickly tell you about a movie. Let's see, where are we at? Let's bring up the movie list. Let's see, I think, yes, I mentioned that. Oh, well, of course, now I have to mention the movie Flow, which is this would have been the second time I saw it, because I saw it previously, so I won't say much about it other than since the first time I saw it, it won Best Animated Film at the Golden Globes, and I assume it's going to be up for the Oscars as well, and oh, it's just so good. And I've been following the filmmaker on social media, and he has been traveling the world, sharing, the Flow is being released in other countries, and he's been sharing when that's happening, and you know, photos and videos of people watching it. And oh, he's also been sharing some really cool stuff about like behind the scenes stuff, character designs, animatics that he made, his editing, a screenshot of his editing structure, the editing structure of all the music. Oh my God, so many tracks. So it's been a, if you're interested in film and animation and whatever, it's been a really fun account to watch. Gintz, I can't remember his last name. He's from Latvia. G-I-N-T-Z, I think. And I haven't heard back, but I have emailed him to see if he could come on this episode, this podcast for the word Flow. Just even a short conversation would be great. That episode would be airing in the middle of April. And I really hope that he sees my email and agrees, but he is a busy, busy man right now. And so, hey, fingers crossed, I'm putting it out there. Let's get Gintz on the podcast. Okay, thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. Spencer.